Detroit Beard Collective is a proud sponsor of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
Guys, tired of trying to make that burly beard of yours look and smell good? Then check this out. Straight out of the Motor City, where they know a thing or two about being tough, comes Detroit Beard Collective, specializing in making that facial hair look good with products like beard butter, beard oils and soaps, specialty combs, and so much more. Come check out the line today at DetroitBeardCollective.com. DBC takes pride in using Detroit and Michigan-based companies and ingredients in all aspects of their product development and manufacturing as they continue to build Detroit's premier grooming company. Even burly dudes like to look and smell good, and DBC will make that happen. Do yourself and your badass beard a favor and log on to DetroitBeardCollective.com and check out all the amazing products they offer. And when you're ready to check out, use promo code SJPDBC to receive 10% off. Detroit Beard Collective, cleaning this world up one beard at a time.
Welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. It is Tim Ellis and Brad Blair. Happy to be back with you for another edition, another installment of this creepy little show we like to do called Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. And Brad, here we are.
We are.
Show two coming back.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. In our reboot, if you want to call it that.
A reboot. I like that. Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I think a reboot works just as well as anything.
And here we are at the end of summer already. Can you believe that?
I can't.
Middle of August.
Yeah.
We are halfway through August right now.
Yeah, that it's bittersweet because I love the fall.
As do I.
I love that time of year. I love Halloween, the ghosts and all that. But I don't know that I'm ready to say goodbye to summer yet.
Well, it's what comes after the fall up here in northern Michigan that makes me hesitate to embrace it as much as I would like to.
Yep.
So, yeah, back in another show. We're just a week out here from the 10th annual Michigan Paranormal Convention.
Yes, we are.
Here in our hometown of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Hard to believe it's been 10 years.
No, you know, we look back on it and we've said it before and we had no idea. We didn't expect it to last this long.
No.
We didn't know what to expect, to be honest.
No, when we set it up, you know, 11 years ago, and it just really seems like yesterday when we were planning the first,
right?
We thought maybe a 2-year run we'd get out of it.
Yeah.
And 10 years later, here we are.
It's amazing. and to see how it's grown, and not only with the amount, the level of speakers and presenters we bring in, but the fans and the people who buy the tickets and the guests who come back year after year after year, and how much that has grown in return visits, because it literally has become like this big paranormal family of ours.
It has.
And I love that more than anything out of all this.
Yeah, just to see the camaraderie that goes with the weekend and how many people come back. How many people buy tickets a year out?
Well, they buy
when we haven't announced any guests yet.
That's just it. So it at that point, you realize it really, it's not all just about who we bring in anymore. It's about people just wanting to be a part of the weekend.
Right.
Fingers crossed that we bring someone cool, you know. But yeah, no, it's just really turned into something much bigger, much more amazing than we ever thought it would. And that's what just makes it so special.
Yeah. And speaking of guests, I had some unfortunate news today. I just before we came on air, got off the phone with Robert Murch, of course, the chairman of the board of the Talking Board Historic Society.
Right.
Murch was supposed to be here with us. Unfortunately, due to some medical issues, he's not going to be able to make it.
Yeah.
So sending thoughts and prayers out to merch. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery.
Yep.
We will still have the Wandering World of Ouija museum display,
which we're excited about.
We are. Mm-hmm. There are other people from the Talking Board Historic Society that will be flying in and taking care of things, and will be presenting at Paracon.
Right.
So very excited for that.
Yeah, we are too. And at this point, by the way, if you know, if you're hearing this and we're just a few days away from Paracon, you can still get tickets. You just can't get them online at this point. You can, if you get here to the Sioux, though, you can buy them right at the door.
Right.
Yeah, at Coyden Casino.
Right. There will be ticket sales at the door. A lot of the add-on events, such as the ghost hunt on the freighter ship Valley Camp, Chip Coffey's psychic gallery reading, the Christy Robinette gallery, Tim Shaw gallery. We all of these side events are starting to sell out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
and they'll go fast. They'll sell out real fast once we get right up on the event.
If they are even available at
that
the
point.
Event.
Right.
So Chip's large gallery, we put a pretty big cap on that. He likes having a large audience for that. Mm-hmm. He draws more on the energy, I guess, from that. So
yep, that's
but
what he says, yeah.
We will hear that from him shortly.
Yes, we will, because we're very excited that he will be our guest inside the creaking door here tonight. Heading back to our first show with Steve Gonzalez, our first show back, our reboot, as you said. Again, want to thank Steve coming in. Want to thank the amazing response we got from our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
You know, first of all, thank
Steve's
you to
such
the
a
listeners.
Great guy. He
Steve
is such a great guy. I've said it before. Yep. He is one of the most sincere, nicest guys in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, teaming back up with Jason Hawes and Dave Tango for Ghost Nation.
Looking forward to that.
Coming this fall on Travel Channel.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what they bring to that show. Those three alone, of course, back from the Ghost Hunters days. So
yes, and there's so much coming out. And
Ghost
Brothers is dropping again with their new show on Travel Channel.
Yep. Kindred Spirits is out there
Kindred
still.
Kindred Spirits is still out filming.
Yep.
Dave Schrader, a friend of ours over at Darkness Radio, Midnight in the Desert, The Holzer Files.
Oh, I'm looking forward to
that. I did not
that.
See that coming.
Me either.
Talk about a new spin. Him and Cindy Kaza, who's a very well-respected psychic medium, going to be on that show.
Yep.
And my understanding is that they are revisiting some of course, one of the most prolific ghost hunters in history, Hans Holzer. They're digging into some of his old, more bizarre cases and going back in and working on those. And I believe we have Dave coming in on the show in a few weeks here.
Yes, exactly. We'll be talking with Dave Schrader as the release of that gets a little bit closer, and he's more open to talk about the new show. We're going to have him on with us for sure, and I'm so excited about that. Being you know, you and I being Hans Holzer fans growing up.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's going to be great.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be a fall and Halloween season filled with more of these more ghost hunting type shows than we had anticipated.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. It's kind of a, you can't even say rebirth, because it never went away, but all of a sudden, there's this big resurgence, I guess, if you will, of new shows and rebooted shows developments coming out.
We were under the thought, the belief that, you know, as far as the TV side of it, it was starting to burn out.
Absolutely.
And we thought we were watching the shows kind of fall by the wayside. Destination America, which built its entire stable on ghost shows, folded. So, you know, we thought for sure that we were seeing the writing in the sand, but just the opposite.
Well,
I think everyone's all back in.
All of a sudden, Travel Channel is, like, getting, and I joke a little bit, but almost 24/7 paranormal.
Yeah.
On the weekends, it's nothing but marathons of paranormal shows, it seems, and their primetime lineups are heavily weighted with paranormal television.
Exactly. So like I said, it's going to be interesting and fun for people who love those type of shows. Lots to choose from this year, for sure.
Absolutely.
Lots to choose from. So looking forward to it, though. It's going to be a fun Halloween season. But again, thank you to Steve being our first guest back. Thank you to our listeners for waiting on us for our reboot, and really with the warm welcome back with the first show. We appreciate it, but we're glad to be back in the studio here today. And right now, though, I think it is that time, Brad, as we like to dig into what's some of the headlines out there. It's time for Paranews.
Absolutely. And here's one that excited me to see, and I'm sure you as well. Some news out of Hollywood. There have been rumors swirling around for a few months now, but it was confirmed in Forbes magazine Dark Shadows, the classic gothic soap opera, is getting a possible reboot. So I am such a big fan of that show.
Yeah.
It was so campy, the old 60s. And granted, it was a little bit before our time, but the reruns were on, you know, when we grew up.
Right,
we
they
got
were.
To see a lot of those. And a few years back, Sci-Fi was running it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught a lot of those. Of course, there was the remake in the early 90s.
Which I remember that well, and I loved it when that came out.
I did, too, with Ben Cross as Barnabas Collins. So that didn't last too long. I think it was a little bit ahead of its time.
I think so, too.
As far as the paranormal crowd went. So
if there's a time for it to have a life again, I think it's now.
Yeah, yeah. Bradley Gallo, the chief creative officer for Amazia Entertainment, has confirmed that they are, in fact, working on Dark Shadows. He says, if things proceed, we are hoping to have it developed and into a possible production run in 2020.
Okay.
He says the major streaming services are who they are targeting with this. So that's interesting. They're not even looking, from what he says anyway, at this point, to approach networks with it, to go cable. They're going towards the streaming services.
So it could be like
services.
A Hulu or Netflix.
Hulu, Amazon, Netflix, absolutely. It's interesting how many shows are going this way.
It truly is the future. You know, the paid-for cable networks, that's...
they're diminishing.
They are.
They're diminishing. It's...
When people can sit down... Because today's society, everyone wants everything
right now.
So binge-watching allows that to be that.
Absolutely.
And people will binge it for like 2 days straight, and then they'll get this little hangover, and they're all depressed because their show's done. You know? But it's just the way things are going. So if that went right to Netflix or any of them, I would... Well, I'm already a Netflix subscriber, but if it goes to one of the other ones, I'll be all over it.
Yeah. I think that could be a great draw.
For sure. Now, here's mine. It's on the fringe of paranormal per se, but I've always been so intrigued by the Shroud of Turin, which, of course, is the sheet that is said to show the outline after Jesus died from the crucifixion.
Right.
And they say that his body was burned into it from the resurrection is kind of the belief behind it. Well, in 1988, there was a pretty big, the biggest study that the Vatican had ever allowed to be done on the Turin. And three different, United States, Switzerland, and England, three different teams, one from each of those places, got to come in and grab pieces of the shroud, and they did carbon dating on it to try to figure out where it came from.
Which has always been pretty controversial.
It has. Well, that study, and it's kind of been the benchmark since 1988, showed that the shroud was actually from somewhere between 1260 and 1390. Well, that's a lot of time after the death of Christ.
Absolutely.
So that pretty much, for a lot of people, sealed it as it was a medieval hoax.
Right.
And it kind of stayed there. But now, an intriguing new Shroud of Turin study reportedly cast doubt on that 1988 examination of the cloth that found it to be the medieval hoax. The often cited research, basically what we just said. So basically what they said happened was the area that they allowed them to take the pieces of cloth from was from the very bottom corner, which was the corner that they said through the years would have been handled the most.
Right.
That it would have been every time it got folded up, every time it got put away, this corner would have been touched by human hands. And they say that alone, because here's what happened. After the study was released, they sealed everything up. They would not allow people to see the raw data of this study. And finally, requests from independent investigators to see the information had been rebuffed by the institution for years. And finally, in 2017, a team of researchers filed the Freedom of Information request to the British Museum, which oversaw the project back in the day. And to a lot of surprises, the court held on and they said, yes, you must show it. So once they got the work and saw what they said were major, major flaws in the study back in 1988, a subsequent 2-year study of the raw data led to the conclusion that the project was very problematic. So basically, long story short, because this goes on for a while, but I was so intrigued by it, they're now going to approach the Vatican again. It's going to have to be granted by the Pope, and they don't know if they're going to the Pope will approve this or not. But they say with today's technology and with finally seeing the study of that 1988 study, the full raw data, they said there's so much that A, was wrong with it back then, mm-hmm. and B, with today's technology, they really want to get in on it and try to do new study. I'm very interested in that. Well, I would love to see what comes of that.
I've heard a lot of scrutiny around carbon dating as a science as it is.
Yeah.
So this will be interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah, it's one I'll definitely be keeping my eyes on.
Absolutely.
Hopefully. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've heard about haunted furniture, haunted dolls, haunted real estate. Now we're back into haunted baby monitors.
Oh, baby monitors.
Baby monitors. So according to a report from the Washington Post, a Mrs. Natalie Wallace started noticing suspicious activity appearing in her Cocoon Cam baby monitor. The screen would show pink and purple blobs of color, which usually indicate movement, but her child was fast asleep.
Okay.
Natalie's husband started noticing strange activity too, and he claims the blobs were appearing to look eerily human-like. In one photo obtained by the Washington Post, it looks as though a person, or ghost, is hovering over their child, and in another it appears as though the whole ghost family is gathered around the bassinet.
Ooh.
The Post reached out to the baby monitor brand, Cocoon Cam, with the spooky activity in question. When the camera is properly installed, the computer vision would focus on the baby's motions, waking, sleeping, even breathing, Gary McMath, the company's marketing chief, reports. The Washington Post also notes that McMath said Cocoon Cam systems could be focusing on other movements like lights, shadows, even blowing curtains that would make these types of blobs appear. He also stated that the company has received a few calls and more than a few emails about similar phenomena. Apparently, according to Natalie, she's tested out other kinds of movement on her own using the baby monitor to compare the colorful blobs, her baby moving, her husband rocking the baby, and even putting the alarm clock to see if that light given off by that would cause it. The pink and purple blobs look nothing like the questionably ghostly activity that they saw the first time.
I give her credit for trying to debunk it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good for her.
It's not, we've covered some of these stories before where supposed spirits have appeared on baby monitors.
Right.
Some of these are damn creepy.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
They're very, very creepy. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because some of the technology into these, with your infrared lighting, and it's very similar to what's being used in the paranormal field.
You bet.
When we go out and conduct investigations. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
interesting. Careful
what you wish for. It goes on to say that she has since then switched out the baby monitor and has just put in a radio system.
Really?
So she only gets the audio.
Wait till the voices
now. Exactly. My thoughts. Exactly.
I don't know. I don't know that I'd take out the monitor. I mean, if you think you're seeing something around your baby's crib, I think I'd want to be aware of that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Apparently it disturbed her enough. So.
I guess. All right. Well, here's my final story for Paranews, and it begins with this. The assembly bells rang. I was at my desk. It was getting near the end of the day, and I was starting to feel a little tired. Then I felt a hard, sharp tap on my shoulder. I turned around to see who it was, and then the room went dark. Fear overtook me. I felt a sharp, splitting pain in the back of my head, and I started feeling like I was spinning. I fell to the floor. Before I knew it, I was looking into what I only thought could be the other world. Scenes of blood, gore, and violence. The scariest thing I saw, though, was a face of pure evil. It was haunting me. I couldn't escape. I opened my mouth and I tried to scream, but no sound came out. I passed out. These were the words of a young 17-year-old student at a private girls' school in Indonesia back in July. Her name is Siti Nuranasa, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Very close, right? So soon after this started, at least 39 other students at the Islamic religious institution were in hysterics, fainting, crying out in fear and panic. Others, including the teachers, claimed to have seen a dark figure lurking about the school campus. The educational authorities sent in Islamic spiritual leaders and counselors to perform exorcisms and calm those affected by the outbreak. There's a very in-depth article on the BBC website and describes the story and fascinating culture background of the outbreak and how the beliefs and spiritual influences and even concepts like Islamic tricksters entities known as the jinn contribute to these kind of mass hysteria, as some have dubbed the incident. So,
wow.
You know, the jinn pops up. It's very popular in the Middle East.
Absolutely.
Much more than it is over here. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, our dear friend Rosemary Ellen Guiley wrote very in-depth on the gin.
Yeah. Rosemary did a lot of research into gin sightings, activity, whatnot.
So, but this isn't, every now and then, about once every year or two, you'll hear stories of, you know, Indonesia or over in that area where these type of mass hysteria things happen. Mm-hmm. Even towns. Well, I remember reading articles about where a town just goes into mass hysteria. So I've always wondered why it is over there. Are they much more in touch with the spirit world and the other side, if you will, than we are? I mean,
you know, I think it's a cultural thing.
Is it a lot of superstition tied into it?
You know, and I've never been to that part of the world, but in the traveling that I have done, mm-hmm. there's such a distinct difference in the ways different cultures perceive the paranormal.
Right.
Now, when I was down in Cuba a couple of years ago, it was very much a religious aspect. And I'm not just saying, Catholicism or Christianity-based, mm-hmm. but there was a lot of Bantu, Santeria, those type of off-religions. But yeah. everything that was paranormal was tied into religion somehow, it seemed. In Romania, it was very superstitious.
Right.
Those people still have crosses or the evil eye built into the side of the houses to ward off evil. And it's still a very superstitious culture over there.
Yeah.
So I almost think, because I've read similar stories like this, mm-hmm. I think over in that part of the world, they are a little more on the superstitious side.
Right.
And I'm not seeing there's not something paranormal that could be going on. But I think as a culture, it's a little more ingrained in them in their daily lives.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. I've always been fascinated with like the Santeria type religions, mm-hmm. because that's old voodoo religion tied in with Catholicism.
Right.
And you get that cross section, which makes it so fascinating to me.
Yeah. And there's so many different splinters of that nowadays, too.
Right. Exactly. All right, there we go. That is Paranews for this edition of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. And with that, we're getting ready to take our first break. And when we come back, we're very excited to welcome in a gentleman who has become a friend of ours over the years from joining us at Michigan Paranormal Convention. And but it's been a while, Brad. We were actually talking about this as we were kind of prepping for the show. It's been a while since we've had Chip inside.
It is. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because Chip and I are very good friends, and I know you're friends with him too, but
yeah, but you've had a chance to travel and with him at different events, and you visit him down in Georgia.
Yep, absolutely. And it just we for whatever reason haven't had him on the show in quite a while.
Yeah.
So no, it's going to be great to catch up with Chip. Of course, he'll be here with us next week mm-hmm. for Michigan Paracon. So yeah, let's get through this break. Let's get him on the phone and see what Mr. Chip Coffey has been up to.
All right, that's coming up next right here inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. Your horror films, comic books, and TV shows served up with a side of what the f***? Then we have the place for you.
Slackjaw Punks!
Yeah, slackjawpunks.com. We dare you to check them out. A podcast that focuses on all the new horror films, comic books, and TV shows, and interviews with the authors and directors, but covered only the way the guys from
Slackjaw Punks
can do it. Plus, you can enjoy written commentary on all of the new stuff, too, from a whole slew of staff writers. So stop wasting time and check it out.
Slackjaw Punks!
Slackjawpunks.com. Serving it up with a side of what the f***? Welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio with Tim Ellis and Brad Blair, and we're very excited to welcome our next guest in with us, who it's been a while since he's joined us inside the Creaking Door, and nothing better than, no matter what you're doing during the day, than to have a side of coffee. We all love our coffee, right? We're talking Chip Coffey. Chip Coffey, welcome back inside the Creaking Door, our friend. Thank you for being with us.
It's good to be here, gentlemen, and I use that term loosely.
As you should.
Very much so.
You know by now that is a very loose term with us, but
Yes, and that applies to me also, so
exactly.
What can I say?
Well, Chip, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. I know you. Anyone who follows you on social media knows that your professional schedule has picked up to new levels, and that is wonderful. We're very happy for you, so thank you for taking time to be with us.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, I've been busy lately, but never too busy for you guys.
Thanks. Yeah, you're never not busy. It seems like you've been on the road nonstop lately. Your schedule's nuts, and of course, you're taking some time again next week, well, whenever we get this up, but coming very shortly to Sault Ste. Marie again for our 10th annual Michigan Paranormal Convention.
And what an honor that is. I cannot begin to tell you how excited I get to be on the road and come to Sault Ste. Marie. It's a fabulous event, guys, you put together. And I'm not sucking up. Please know, that I'm an honest kind of an SOB.
We know that about you. Yes.
Here's the deal. Your event is just incredible. You guys just do such an amazing job with the conference. And what an honor it is to be there with you guys. And it's fun. You know, we're working, those of us who are you know, on TV or whatever are working, but it's just fun. You guys have somehow made it, you know, the work not seem like work, and that's great.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of what, you know, I think that goes along with just our personalities of ourselves, my Brad and I, and the Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research Society. That's how we've attacked the field over 20 years of investigating, is just having fun while we're doing it, and we brought that to this event. Now, I find it kind of fun, you know, Brad and I and our team being born and raised here in Sault Ste. Marie, we're kind of in our own little corner of the world up here, and not a lot of people know about where it is unless, you know, you've become fans of the Michigan Paranormal Convention. And, you know, and in all honesty, Chip, had you known about Sault Ste. Marie prior to this event, and now it's become a yearly visit for you?
Well, you know what's really interesting? I spent 15, almost 16 years in the travel industry, so I did know of Sault Ste. Marie.
Okay, yeah.
I've never visited there before I came to your event, but once I did, it's like, this is a little corner of heaven. You know, and all the people that are there, I've just got to say, everybody from your group, and I'm gonna name drop here. I'm gonna name drop Linda Hose.
Yes.
I mean, she is, correct me if I'm wrong, she is the head of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Is
correct.
That correct?
Correct. Yep.
She's like a saint. She has always been so kind and so nice. So one of the things I've got to say about your group, and I can't sing your praise highly enough, guys, is that you're just decent, good people. And that's, you know, Brad's wife and son took Greta, my travel assistant, and me out on a tour of the town.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, you develop this relationship with people that are there, and it's real, and it's honest, and it's good. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. We appreciate those words too, Chip. So that means a lot. So let's get into you, Mr. Chip Coffey, as far as your, you know, what's been going on with you since the last time we had a chance to talk with you inside the creaking door. Again, your professional schedule has really amped up. I know there's some things, you know, that are still in the works and you can't really talk about yet, but fill us in. What's been going on with you? Because you are going now.
I keep saying they're trying to kill this old girl. it hasn't happened yet. You know, I'm kind of like a Timex watch. I'm taking a licking and keeping on ticking.
You bet.
It's like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
But I've done some guest appearances for the past couple of seasons on Amy Bruni and Adam Berry's show, Kindred Spirit.
Right.
And you're correct. I can't talk about some things right yet because the network won't let me. But I'm doing some other things with Travel Channel, and that's really kind of all I can say at this point in time. But I can tell you that you're going to see my face back on TV fairly soon.
For better or for worse, right, my friend?
For better or for worse.
Yes. Tim and I were talking a little bit earlier in the previous segment, Chip, about this whole resurgence, it seems. We kind of thought the whole paranormal thing was on the down cycle as far as television goes, definitely prime time. And now all of a sudden it's exploding again, and it never died off. But there's a huge influx coming in, it seems, in the next couple of seasons, especially Travel Channel hitting it hard. I believe A&E's got a number of shows coming up as well. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this? Where does all of this hit a wall at, or does it?
I don't know that it actually hits a wall. I can tell you that I think that, you know, people's interest in things kind of ebbs and flows. You know, it goes up, it goes, comes down, you know? And I think it's never really gone away. And you're right. You know, Travel is doing a bunch of new shows, and A&E jumped back on the bandwagon and has some shows that are coming back out. And even the networks, I mean, there's a new show that I've been watching on television that's a scripted show called The In Between. And it's about a girl that is a physical medium. She works with her family who is in law enforcement, and it's a kind of a formulaic show there, but it's compelling. And for the most part, I found out that they do it well. And there's a new show coming out, I think, on NBC, maybe, I don't know exactly, but I think it's called Evil or something like that. And it's a show that's coming out, I think, in the fall. So even the networks, the major networks, are jumping on kind of the paranormal bandwagon in a scripted sense.
Right.
So I think people have always been interested. People are interested in what happens after they die.
Right.
You know, and after their loved ones die. So I think that's the primary thing. And then the other component is people just like this stuff. You know, they like the spooky, scary, kind of creepy stuff. They like seeing us crawl around in dusty basements. You know, that's it.
Yeah, so you're mentioning some of the scripted shows out there. What's your feeling on the portrayal of psychics or mediums or sensitives in these shows?
I think some of them get it fairly right. You know, like I said, I've been watching The In Between, and I really like the show, actually. And I agree with, like, probably 70-80% of what they're doing. They say some things on there about her. It's a female medium, and they say some things about her that really ring true. And then there's some other things that I kind of go, I don't know about that, but let me think on that for a while. Because this is a realm that we really don't know about completely or even at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what settles well with us, I guess, what we can embrace or what feels resonant to us. So I think for the most part, they get some things right. Mm-hmm. That feel right to me. So that's kind of my impression of what's going on with the scripted stuff.
So, Chip, let's, you know, because you had said, do we even really fully understand the field? And the question is, no. I mean, we're learning every day. But with
absolutely.
But within the title of psychic or medium, there are kind of divisions within that as far as, you know, even on your own website, it says clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, psychic, as well as a full conscious medium. So each one of those have their own kind of definition to kind of break down what your abilities are. Can you kind of take each one of those a little bit and explain more to the people who may not understand exactly the difference in those?
All those clairs are just, it's French. Eclair.
Eclair, right?
French. Claire is clear. I should change my name to Claire. But, you know, it just means clear. Clairaudient means you hear clearly. Clairsentient means you feel. Clairprescient means all of the above. You know, so it's kind of, that's kind of what that is. But all it really is, those are fancy words for being a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And being a psychic, I've kind of demystified the word psychic because people think it's way out there in the woo-woo.
Right.
I believe we all have some level of psychic ability. And to me, psychic is this. Psychic means that you can access information or energy that you can't get using your five human senses. It's a skill set. It's an ability. And it's not anything creepy. It's just a part of us and who we are. Mediumship is a little different. Mediumship means that you're able to communicate with other realms, and most people that I know communicate with those who once were living and now have departed the earthly realm, people that are dead. So that's kind of the difference.
Okay.
And within that, there are different skill sets, different kind of specialties, if you will,
mm-hmm.
like with the medical field or teaching or whatever. There's specialties. So, you know, I basically talk to the dead. That's, you know, I don't see them on a regular basis. You know, some mediums do. But there's different levels to those abilities, different levels of how you receive information.
So being psychic means you tap into the energy that's around us. Being a medium, it takes it the next step then, being able to communicate to the other side.
Yes, I believe that all mediums are psychics, but not all psychics are mediums.
Right, exactly. That's kind of how I've always looked at it as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me ask you, Chip. You're a big big animal fan. You have your dogs. What do you feel about pet spirits? This is a question that seems to get thrown at us quite often lately for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, I can only speak from my personal experience, and that is this. I have had fairly recently, three pets to die. And in the beginning, I kind of felt them around me. And I haven't so much lately, and probably because I haven't focused in on them. Years ago, I had a dog that passed away, and I would see Bo. His name was Bo Michael Coffee. All good Southern dogs have a little name. Bo Michael Coffee, I would see him or feel him in the house. And I live with my cousin Kenny that people hear me talk about or see me talk about on social media a lot.
Right.
Cousin Kenny is my dad's sister's son. And we've lived together now for almost 20 years. And he was here when Bo was here and living with us, and then when we had to put Bo down, unfortunately. Now, Kenny was raised in a very traditional Christian family, which a lot of traditional Christians don't believe in the whole aspect of, or don't fully embrace the whole aspect of seeing spirits or communicating with spirits. Mm-hmm. Now, Kenny is more open-minded than, you know, this staunch, no, that's not the way it is. Kenny has a little bit more of an open mind than that. And he himself has come to me and said, look, I saw Bo walking up the steps yesterday, or I saw Bo in the backyard. So if you get a traditional Christian saying that, that kind of makes you stop and go, well. So I do believe that, you know, let's be a little ha-ha-ha here. I do believe all dogs go to heaven. I do believe that all animals go to heaven. I don't know how to embrace the idea of a cockroach or a flea going to heaven or going to the afterlife. I don't know about all that. Maybe yes. I don't know. But I do know that I have seen and felt animals. Animal communication is not my strongest suit. I'll tell you a funny story. I had a lady call me once and asked me to reach out to Snooki. And I thought, I didn't know that girl from Jersey Show had kicked the bucket, you know? But right. Snooki was her dog, and she paid me a considerable amount of money, which I gave her back. But she just wanted, she was upset because she had to put Snooki down and thought Snooki probably hated her. And the feeling I was getting from her dog, it wasn't like the dog was saying, I'm okay with you, girl. What I got was, I'm fine. The feeling I got was, I'm fine. I'm doing all right. I'm not mad at you. And the lady said, well, what's Snooki saying? And I am Chip Coffee.
So the humor kicked in, is what you're saying.
I really just wanted to go, Snooki's going, woof, 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 woof. And now she's scooting her butt across the carpet. So yeah. I really wanted to do maybe the celestial carpet. So, you know, I don't get, you know, like we're talking now from an animal, but I get a sense or a feeling about what the animal is, you know, what, nothing more than that. And as far as living animals, some people can kind of tap into the energy of a living animal and figure out what's going on emotionally with an animal, why it's behaving in a certain way. I'm not really good at that. I'm the first to admit it. So that's not, unlike other psychics, that's not one of my strongest skill sets.
Yeah. My, you know, and this is just my own theory, my own thought on it, because you had mentioned, Chip, you know, how people who grew up in strict Christian families don't want you going after ghosts or going after spirits. Brad and I experienced that as kids growing up in high school with our church school teacher. She hated the fact that we were using Ouija boards and running around cemeteries, but it was just what we liked and we enjoyed it. But not only that, but they'll go even deeper and scream that there's no way a dog has a soul.
Right.
We fight with a couple guys right here in our own town over that. My thought, just my personal theory on this, is we all have energy. Everything has energy. We know that. But if it's almost like the love that we can give that energy almost fills it like a fuel tank. And so dogs become part of our families, and we love them unconditionally. They love us unconditionally. And to me, that almost takes it beyond just energy and brings it to the next level where they stay with us then after that. That's just my personal painting that I picture of it to try to understand it and grasp it.
And that's a great way to look at it. You know, love, I often say love never dies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got this intense relationship with your pet, you know, it can be a horse, it can be a cat, it can be a dog, it can be a ferret, whatever it happens to be, You know, I just feel like, you know, you've, it's a lovely relationship. My animals are my kids, you know, and lots of people, you just adore your dog. You just love spending time with your dog or your cat.
Right.
And when they die, why would they not want to occasionally come around and hang out with you? You know, that's what I feel. And you brought up something about, you know, you said you had a little bit of a conflict, and that's my word, not yours, with people having different beliefs. Honestly, here's a suggestion to you. Don't give a care of what they're believing. You hold on to your belief and don't try to convince or convert them.
Right.
You know, that's fine. If they don't believe that, you basically, once you get into a headbutting contest with somebody like that, nobody's opinions really are going to change dramatically. So I just let them believe what they want to believe, and I believe fully in my own heart that my beliefs are, you know, what's best for me.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
So we've talked a little bit on your busy schedule filming. You can't really talk about some of the things coming up. One thing we can talk about, you've done some work with Nick Groff and Elizabeth Saint for their VidiSpace platform, and your show Pajama Party is coming up. What can you tell us about that? Where did this whole concept come from?
Paranormal Pajama Party is kind of like, it's just like a fun project for me. It's a little bit paranormal, and it's a little bit celebrities. It's a little bit, you know, just good fun and taking a look at the lives of some people that you might be familiar with. And I was very fortunate in the first run that we did to have Terry Polo from the Meet the Fockers. You know, she was a, that sounds dirty. She was a Focker. But, you know, she hopped in bed with me, and we get in bed together. I'll just tell you the concept before I go on. It's kind of hop in bed in our jammies. You know, we can drink some wine. We can drink some whatever beverage you want to have. There may be food involved. But you talk about their lives, what they're passionate about. You talk about some of their paranormal experiences. Some of them I've given a reading to and tapped into their deceased loved ones. But we did the first round, and we did Andy Cohen from Bravo, his assistant got in bed with me. The second round that I did with Nick and Elizabeth, you know, I've had some pretty prominent people get in bed with me. I've had, you know, I'm gonna brag about it.
As you should.
This is my new definition of good in bed. You know, I've had Evan Rachel Wood hop in bed with me from Westworld. I mean, she's freaking amazing. and such a chameleon. She never looks the same twice. She showed up at a hoity-toity hotel in Nashville and walked out of her Uber and her jammies through the lobby of the hotel and said, I figured I was going to come camera ready.
That's awesome.
So that was lovely. She was like, I don't give a care if I'm walking in and what I look like. Let people look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she got in bed with me. Willie Ames from Eight Is Enough and Charles and Charles.
Oh, you bet. Yep.
Olivia Hussey, who was Juliet in the Franco Zeffirelli classic, iconic Romeo and Juliet film from the late 60s, hopped in bed with me. I mean, she was one of my childhood crushes. I mean, she was the definitive Juliet. I think anybody who's seen it will just go, oh, my God, she's ethereal. She's like otherworldly. And you know what? She's older now, and that hasn't changed. She's still spectacularly beautiful and such a sweet soul. So that was lovely. Bob Murch hopped in bed with me. Derek Waters from Drunk History, the host of Drunk History.
Oh, that is such a great show.
That's fun.
Who is such a good friend of mine, hopped in bed. And little do people know, he is obsessed with the paranormal.
Really?
And investigator. Oh, yeah. He loves anything paranormal. And a few others hopped in bed. Eileen Davidson from The Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives and Real Housewives. She hopped in bed with me. So, you know, there's some really prominent celebrities and some named celebrities that kind of hopped in bed. And I worked with Nick and Elizabeth, and we've been in the process. They've been very busy with VidiSpace. So we're finally, I think, getting around to focusing. They're scattered, and I don't use that word in a derogatory fashion, but they're scattered energies to kind of focus a little bit now, hopefully, on Pajama Party. And it's great. One thing I neglected to mention, from the Psyche Kids show that was the original production that I did back almost a decade ago, I have two of my psychic kids who were on the show back then, who are now young ladies in their late teens, early 20s, to hop on the show with me, hop on Pajama Party with me, and we have a little Psychic Kids mini reunion.
Oh, that's fun. That's good. Because I know those kids, a handful of those kids you're still very, very close with.
I am very close to some of those kids. I've maintained relationships with some of them. I mean, there were 60. It's impossible to maintain relationships with all of them, but I've stayed relatively close to several of them.
Nice. So is the idea then, Chip, that the pajama parties and past episodes are going to be available on VidiSpace? Is that what I'm understanding here? Or is it just the episode with Nick Groff?
I didn't ever do an episode with Nick Groff.
Okay.
We produced with Nick Groff.
Gotcha.
I never did an In the Bed episode with Nick Groff. The episode that I think is coming out fairly soon is the Psychic Kids episode, the Psychic Kids reunion episode, and then the other episodes will follow. It'll be
great.
On VidiSpace and whatever platforms VidiSpace is available on. You know, I understand that Hulu or I don't know. You'd have to look on their website at vidi.space. But I know there's other platforms where you can actually view their content. So as soon as that happens, I'll get more schooled on that and figure out how to tell people exactly where they
right, exactly.
Do pajama parties.
I think Nick was working with Amazon on that, too, Amazon
nice.
Prime.
Yeah,
so,
I'm pretty sure there's a lot. He and Elizabeth had talked about a lot of different outlets and venues that they, so to speak, that they were considering, you know, placing their content.
Nice.
So. I'm pretty sure people will be able to find a place where they can actually watch the content.
Very nice. Chip, I want to kind of bring it back to, because I've always been fascinated with this, the ability to be with mediumship and to see the other side. When you are communicating with the other side, has anything ever come through that you're like, okay, you're not someone I want to talk to, I don't like the energy, you need to go away, and then just shut it right down? Like, sometimes will you just kind of get that stray negative energy that comes through that you don't like?
Typically not randomly. I don't get a lot of random information. I kind of have asked my spirit partners to kind of stand sentinel or stand guard.
Okay, yep.
And not let unbidden information come through. But if I'm actually on an investigation or doing a reading, it's been rare, but, you know, I've been in locations, particularly on shows like Paranormal State, when I did that a
right.
while back. You know, we went in and we kind of knew that there was going to be something negative there because it had been manifesting itself as negative.
Right.
So I've tapped into that, and it's not pleasant, you know, and, you know, for the most part, I've dealt with it and communicated with it and then told it basically can I say piss off?
You sure can.
Okay, I've basically told it to piss off and kind of done some protection prayers, gone back to what my protective elements are, and that's my strong faith, and used that as my protective element. But I don't regularly, because that's not who I am. I don't lead a life that's filled with, oh, I'm going to go out and search for this negative stuff.
Right.
If I happen to find myself face-to-face with it, or I'm called in to assist. I'm not a demonologist. I'm not an exorcist. So don't get me wrong. I've assisted on some of that stuff, but it's not my first choice. But if I'm faced with it, or I'm called in to do something in that realm with the negative, I will do it, because if it's going to help somebody, that's the key element. If it is going to make something better for the people that are experiencing some sort of a negative haunting, then I'll go in and do it.
Yeah, and I guess I was more wondering if they can kind of just slide themselves in when you're trying to focus on something else. But I love the image you painted of having your spirit guides kind of standing sentinel and saying, back off, you know, this is what Chip's working on. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the way I feel it. People ask me all the time if I'm able to kind of shut it off and turn it on. And the answer for me is yes. It's like, I explain it like most people have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And they go in and they clock into their job, or they sit down at their desk, or they do whatever. They're just focusing on their job. And then when they're not at their job, they're just leading their lives. It's the same with me. This is my work. This is what I do. And when I focus in on it or kind of metaphorically flip the switch, then I'm working. And when I'm not, I'm kind of like, I'm just, people will ask me all the time, and I what are you picking up about me? And I'm like, child, I am just so not psychic right now. I am just turned off. I'm socializing. I'm leading my life as Chip Coffee, not Chip Coffee psychic and medium.
Right.
No one wants to work 24/7. I don't want to be Whoopi Goldberg. I don't want to be Whoopi Goldberg being sung to by Patrick Swayze at 3 in the morning. I don't want that.
So when you're in a gallery reading, Chip, and you've got a whole group of people, what draws you to somebody? Is there a voice that you hear that is shouting and pointing at somebody in the crowd?
I'll give you an example. First of all, I'll tell you, my spirit guides direct me where I'm supposed to go. I don't choose the person. They know who at that point in time. Some energy bigger than me knows who is supposed to be read at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So they point that person out. Here's a funny story. I had a group one time, a sizable group, and most of the group was women. And there were numerous men scattered throughout, but the group was predominantly women. So my spirit guide said, you're supposed to read the guy with the glasses on his head. So I'm standing in front of the people, and I'm scanning the audience, and there's not a single guy in that audience with glasses on his head, sunglasses on his head. Not a one. And I'm like, and I'm having this kind of telepathic, if you will, conversation with my spirit guides. And I'm like, there's nobody with glasses. Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. And finally, I just said, okay, I got to tell you. My spirit guides are telling me that I'm supposed to read for the guy with the glasses on his head. And I scanned the audience, and I said, if I've missed you, that's all right. And this one guy raised his hand, and he said, well, I do have glasses on my head. And he pulled off the baseball cap he was wearing, and the damn glasses were under his baseball cap.
Wow.
And I just said out loud, I said, okay, spirit buddies, I said, I can't see through that hat. You might be able to. I can't.
Yeah. Tell me the damn hat.
Yeah. Tell me to give the guy in the red and black hat. You know, tell me
right.
that. But when you tell me it's the guy with the glasses on his head and they're under a cap, come on.
I thought you were going to say the audience was going to start laughing and you were the one with the glasses on the top of your head. Have you ever had it during a gallery, though, where the energy was to you? Someone was trying to come through for you?
I really haven't. You know, most of the time, my deceased loved ones, I leave them alone because I say they're dead for a reason. They spent their time. They live their life here on Earth.
Right.
And I'm not constantly ringing up my mom or my dad, who are both deceased, or any other relative. You know, I just, if they want to come to me with information, yes. I mean, recently, the beginning of the week, it was the anniversary of my mom's death. She,
mm-hmm.
she was kind of heavy on my heart that day because I missed her. But I was also remembering the good times with my mom. And I felt my mom close to me on that day, you know, closer than I usually do. But that's just because I created that energy, and she was sensing it from where she is.
Right.
And we made that lovely little bond. But usually, I mean, it's been kind of funny sometimes that I'm stunned a little bit by the person that I'm supposed to read for, because once during a TV show, it was one of the camera guys.
Oh, okay.
And not somebody that I was thinking I was going to be reading for. It happened to be one of the guys running the camera.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit of a shock.
Yeah, I've heard of that happening before as well in instances like that. All right, Chip Coffee, one last question for you, then we're going to let you go. We know you're very, very busy. You had mentioned demonology. It made me wonder, when in the hell are we going to see a pajama party with John Zaffis in Chip Coffee? Come on,
you know,
I've got my
wish list of people that I would like to have. If this goes to season two, knock wood. You hear me knocking wood?
Yeah.
If we go to second season, I'll tell you some of the people. John's definitely on the list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've had a few people step up. Dee Wallace from Cujo and E.T.
Oh, yeah.
Is a possibility to hop in bed with me. Morgan Fairchild wants to hop in bed.
Nice.
Yeah, that's that's a boyhood kind of, oh, my God.
You bet.
I mean, come on. I may be a gay man, but I have hormones. Come on, kid.
And you've got eyes. Yeah.
I don't.
And I've got eyes. Right. And, you know, I'm the worst gay man on the face of the planet. I absolutely love women. So I don't get this. I'm this really weird gay enigma. So,
I don't think Morgan Fairchild ages.
No, that's the thing about her.
Morgan Fairchild, I saw Morgan probably a year and change ago. Morgan Fairchild still is stunningly beautiful in person. Mm-hmm. You just kind of don't. She's like Olivia Hussey. You just don't think these people are real. And I can say that, you know, I don't know if any of them have had work or not, but even if they have, it was good work and they look great.
You know who else I don't think ages at all is Jane Seymour. You need to get Jane Seymour
right
with you.
You know, I think that when I'm in the UP in a couple of weeks, and it's next week.
It is. Yes.
When I'm in the UP, I think that we should sit down and write a bucket list. Oh, and can I bring up something before we get off the phone?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
This is for Brad Blair.
Uh-oh.
I discovered something about you, Brad, that I did not know.
Hang it up. Hang it up.
And I discovered this on social media, not through anything psychic. I did not know you were a huge Dark Shadows fan.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I know that you are as well, Chip.
Absolutely. There's a Dark Shadows story with Chip Coffey, how I almost was on the show, the original show.
Really? Oh, man.
And also, I can hook you up with some of the people that were on the original show, because one of my really good friends, mm-hmm. remember Barnabas, the vampire's sister, Sarah, little girl?
Absolutely, yep. Yes, yes.
She is a wonderful friend of mine, and I'll bet you, just to satisfy your little boyhood thing that was when it started, I'll bet you Sharon would come to your event next year.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
That'd
yes.
be fantastic.
Especially if they do the reboot of the show.
Right.
That'd be a great tie-in.
They are. I hear that they're considering a reboot of the show.
We were just talking about it in our opening segment of this of this episode of Creaking Door. Well, we were talking about that.
Tim and I were both big fans when they did the reboot in probably, what was it, late 80s, early 90s?
Early
90s. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, only ran a season.
Well, it came at a bad time. It was the Gulf War thing that was going on, and people were so immersed with the news of the war and things like that. I don't think it got proper attention. And, you know, the Ben Cross version was all right. You know, here's something for you, Brad. Remember the house in the original show that's located in Newport, Rhode
Island?
Yes,
Collinwood.
It's Carey Mansion. It was basically called Seaview Terrace for a long time, but now the Carey family owns it, and Denise Carey lives there. I actually filmed a Dark Shadows parody film there with Katrina Weidman's mother at the helm of this parody film.
Where do we find this?
You can find it online.
Really?
What's it called?
Oh, God, you had to ask me that question. But I'll find out for you and let you know. But I actually, are you ready for this? The tower in that house at Carey Mansion?
Mm-hmm.
Greta and I actually got to stay in a bedroom in one of the second floor tower bedrooms for two nights while we were filming.
Oh, really? How cool.
Jonathan Frid was just such a creepy, and I don't mean this disrespectful at all. He was such a creepy guy in that role as Barnabas Collins, though, the original, that your skin kind of crawled sometimes when you heard him.
As campy as the original one was, he held the creepiness part of it.
Absolutely.
He was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good
well,
stuff.
I can tell you that I have a picture that I'll have to show you of myself with Jerry Lacey, if you know who Jerry is, Reverend Trask.
Okay.
And Catherine Lee Scott, who played Josette and Maggie, and mm-hmm. Angelique, Lara Parker, and Marie Wallace, who played Crazy Eve, and there were a couple other characters she played. But and Sharon Smith, who played Sarah. And I have a photograph of myself at a convention with that group of people, and I'm like, I'm in boyhood heaven right now.
You know, I love
this. This is just great, and they all look great. I don't know if you know this, but remember the little girl that was David, the little boy? He doesn't have anything to do with Dark Shadows anymore. He lives, I think, in Central or South America, and it's a restaurateur.
No.
But the little girl that played Amy on the show, Denise Nickerson, she was also in the original Willy Wonka.
Oh, yeah.
She just recently passed about 2 weeks ago.
I remember reading that.
And so, yeah, so Dark Shadows lives on. But we'll talk about it when I see you in person.
Yes, we will.
I have lots of Dark Shadows stories.
Awesome. We love it. All right. So if you want to learn more about Chip Coffee, it's real simple. Just go to his website, chipcoffee.com. All the details are there. If you want a private reading from Chip, you can get it there as well. Or come on over to a Michigan Paranormal Convention and meet him in person. He is as personal and fun as he sounds right here inside the Creaking Door. Chip Coffee, always great to talk to you, my friend. And we will see you very, very soon here at MI Paracon 10.
That's beautiful. I love you both. See you soon.
All right. Thanks, there we go. Chip Coffee inside Creaking Door. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more on the way. This is Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
Do you love your horror films, comic books, and TV shows served up with a side of what the f***? Then we have the place for you.
Slackjaw Punks!
Yeah, SlackjawPunks.com. We dare you to check them out. A podcast that focuses on all the new horror films, comic books, and TV shows, and interviews with the authors and directors, but covered only the way the guys from
Slackjaw Punks
can do it. Plus, you can enjoy written commentary on all of the new stuff, too, from a whole slew of staff writers. So stop wasting time and check it out.
Slackjaw Punks!
SlackjawPunks.com. Serving it up with a side of what the f***.
And welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. Tim Ellis, Brad Blair with you. And once again, want to thank Chip Coffee for being with us inside the Creaking Door, Bradley. And we're looking forward to seeing him in just a few days.
Always a great time to hang out with Chip.
Yeah, it is.
He is such a riot.
Yes,
for sure. He is just the most fun. He is so... Yeah, you see him on some of the TV shows that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so serious, and of course it's serious subject matter that he's dealing with.
Right.
But he is such a joker. He's got such a great sense of humor and such a down-to-earth guy.
He is. And we've always said the same, you know, for someone like John Zaffis, who deals in such a dark manner as he does as a demonologist. And but when you get to know John as a person, I mean, he's like the uncle who sits at the dinner table and farts.
Exactly.
You know, and you're like, who did that? And he's over there cracking up. So, yeah, exactly. So it was great to talk with Chip, and looking forward to seeing him in a few days for Paracon. And right now it is time for Mailbag. This is our segment where we allow listeners to send in any type of questions they may have. We kind of hope it'll be paranormal related, but again, if you send us, we'll answer whatever we can.
Yeah, and you can hit us up for this on any of our social media sites, Twitter, Facebook. We probably check the Facebook account more often.
I think so.
I will say that.
Yeah.
I will say that. We don't tweet quite as much as we...
We're not efficient Twitters.
No. Yeah. No, not much.
We're learning.
Right. So if you want to message us on that, we also have a website, creakingdoorparanormal.com. Mm-hmm. Feel free to hit us up there.
You bet. So find us there. Find us on our social media. You can send us any questions you want, and we will pick our favorite questions and share them and do our best to answer them. This one comes from David in Cedar Springs, Iowa. Hello, David. David says, gentlemen, it's great to hear you guys back on with the podcast. I have anxiously been awaiting. My question for you guys is, I'm interested in what your thoughts are from guys who have been in the field prior to the start of the original craze of ghost shows with ghost hunters.
Reality
ghost hunting.
Right.
And watching it kind of ebb and flow, and now seeing this big resurgence coming into this Halloween season. I will gladly await the answer to this. Well, David, thank you. And Brad, we kind of touched on it real quick in the beginning of the show.
Right.
But now we can really kind of dig into it. So it's a great question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's something you and I have discussed many times over the years. Mm-hmm. We've been into paranormal research, conducting it for over 20 years now. And when the television shows really hit, it was Ghost Hunters that kicked it all off, mm-hmm. and Ghost Adventures followed at the heels very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
We realized right away it was a double-edged sword.
Right.
Because it brought the field to the mainstream and made it somewhat more acceptable, I think. But at the same time, you had all of these people that were just copycat investigators, is the best I can call them.
Yeah.
They didn't study. They don't do the research. They watch and see what is being done on the para-reality shows and go out and try and copy that without having an understanding of the field. So that's my feel, is it works both ways. As far as the resurgence, like we said before and chatted a bit with Chip about too, you know, this is something that it didn't go away, but all of a sudden it seems like it's being ramped up.
Right.
And how long can all of these shows survive, I guess, is my question.
Right, exactly. And I guess we've always said time will tell. We've always said we were here before the dust storm, and we'll be here after the dust settles.
Absolutely.
You know, and so will the teams and the people who have been doing this before it all started. And don't get me wrong. I'm sure there are some great teams out there that do it legitimately after they got involved after the show. So I'm not saying that any team that started after the show isn't legit. That's not what I'm saying at all. But here's the problem. It's when those teams, and we heard a lot about this back in the, you know, as Ghost Hunters was going into its fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh season, where these teams would pop up overnight and they're running into people's homes and saying, yeah, you've got a third level demon. You know, you need to get a priest in here.
Yeah.
And that's where the double-edged sword came in, where it was hurting the field in that aspect.
And there's the whole, and the other side of it too, it's not just investigators, but the clients.
Mm-hmm.
Now people that watch the shows and all of a sudden decide their house is haunted.
You bet.
And they've already figured this out themselves because they watch Ghost Adventures every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when we come in, and this has happened many times, unfortunately, we go in and debunk and explain away what's going on, and which more often than not is what happens. They've got this kind of don't take away my ghost thought process.
Right.
And if they don't like what you give them for results, they'll just find another team down the road in the neighborhood and wait until somebody tells them what they want to hear.
And we also, you know, we used to share this as well back in the day when we were in our younger years of the UPPRS, but we were part of the TAPS family, for Northern Michigan. So we would get cases would come into TAPS. And if it was in the Northern Michigan area, they'd send them on to us. Mm-hmm. Well, then we would reach out to the client. And there were times we literally would show up at the doorstep and they wanted to know where Jason and Grant were on the camera crew.
Right.
You know, and it just, that type of stuff just made you laugh.
And there were a good number of those people, too, that once we reached out and they realized it wasn't the television crew coming in, they just didn't reply.
Yeah, we never heard back from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's made it more open for people to talk about.
Yes.
You know, at the same time, there's a couple of the shows out there, and just out of being respectful, we've always done that with our show, that have, I think, are at the point where it's actually making a mockery of the field and the way it shows how, you know, I don't even have to get into it, but it's just there's a couple out there that are just pure entertainment only.
And how far do you go with it?
Right.
You know, how many different paranormal, and I'm not talking because there's a whole range of the field, but how many ghost hunting shows, let's just say, can be supported on cable television?
That's just it. And how many locations can you go to where all three or four of the big shows have all been to these locations?
Right.
So it is what it is.
It's there for entertainment.
That's
David.
Right.
David, it is there for entertainment.
Don't lose sight of that.
Too much into it. Yes, it's let's say based on reality, more so than reality. Some of these shows very loosely based on reality.
Right. Yeah, and then there are a handful of shows out there that I truly believe are doing the best they can with Hollywood, and I'm using air quotes, still in the background saying this is what we want on the editing floor, and this is what's going to make TV.
Yep.
So take it for what it is, David, but again, remember, it is there for an entertainment value. All right, so thank you for the question, David, out of Cedar Springs, Iowa. And again, if you want to send us a question, comment, whatever, we would love to hear from you. Find us on Facebook or Twitter, Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, or you can go to our website as well. Well, Brad, as we're getting ready to wrap things up, I think one more reminder for the 10th Annual Michigan Paranormal Convention.
We will be on stage with the Perrin family.
How
cool is this going to be?
Oh, man, Creaking
Door. How
cool
is this going to be?
Gets the first ever entire panel of The Conjuring, the Perrin family.
Yes.
Right there with us.
Roger, Andrea, Nancy, Christine, and Cindy.
Yeah.
And if everything works out right, Carolyn, the mother, the matriarch of the family, will be calling in.
Okay.
She's not in the best of health, so she's not going to be traveling to make it up here with us, but she is hoping to call in, and we are hoping to be able to wire this upright that you will be able to hear, not live, but we will get this panel to you
as part of a Creaking Door episode
in the very near future.
Yes. So if you couldn't make it to MI Paracon, we're hoping to at least, since Brad and I will be on the stage with them, we've got the tech team, the IT guys from slackjawpunks.com
coming in,
working on it for us.
Hopefully they're going to be able to get that recorded and set up for us.
Fingers crossed.
Very much looking forward to that. You can find all of the info at miparacon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be remiss if we didn't try and plug our book.
Well, that was coming up next, so do not forget.
How convenient.
Brad and I, along with the third founding member and longtime friend of ours that founded the Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research Society, in late June it was officially released, Upper Natural Haunts, based on the Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research case files. And some of these span back 15 years, and some of our favorites through the years,
which
is exciting.
And you can get that at youpernaturalhaunts.com. That's spelled YOOPERNATURAL.
Yes.
Haunts.com. Also, Kindle version out there now on Amazon. Hopefully the audio version coming soon. We're still waiting on confirmation on that, but it's in the works.
Right. So that's still being talked about, but the Kindle and the actual paperback version is out there for you to get. We hope, if you've already picked it up, we really hope you're enjoying it. We loved working on this book. And if you haven't picked it up yet, please do so. Upernaturalhaunts.com, or if you're going to be meeting us at MI Paracon,
We'll have copies.
We'll have many.
We've got stacks of copies to bring to Paracon.
The orders have rolled in.
You can get yourself a signed copy. We will be there all weekend.
You bet. All right, so remember, you can always find us at our other locations, too. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify, I know, is the next one coming for us. They're working on it right now. The account has been created.
Excellent.
So you'll be able to find us on Spotify very, very soon.
And we've had people ask about Spotify, so that's it. It's great we've got that other outlet coming in.
Yep.
So, and, of course, at our home base at slackjawpunks.com.
That's right. So no matter where you're at, you can find us. We're like a bad rash.
Yes,
we're always
in
there.
In many ways.
All right. So on behalf of Brad Blair, my co-host, our engineers, and my name is Tim Ellis, thanks for coming on inside the Creaking Door, powered by slackjawpunks.com.
The Creaking Door.